I hope you are doing well. Shavua Tov. Great to see you. This morning, we begin in earnest our first of the letters of the responses to David Ben-Gurion's question, to the Prime Minister's question of who is a Jew. So the letter that we're going to study this morning, which is in the Mar Mekomos that went out, I'm going to share it on the screen in a minute. I'm holding it in this book. This book, as I mentioned earlier, this is that little original kuntris, the little original pamphlet, which you see is entitled Mi Yehudi, with the collection of letters. So I took a picture from here. And then the English version of the letter is in this volume, which is the Jewish Identity, Who is a Jew, the second edition, a documentary compilation by Baruch Litvin, who Xeroxed, who translated into English the original document. So you're going to have that on the screen in a minute. The first letter this morning, let's just hang on. Here we go. Okay. I'm just going to mute everyone. Okay. So now everyone is muted. Hang on. Here we go. Okay. One second. Let me pull up the source sheet. Okay, so you can see it. Okay, so I'm going to share the screen now. Just give me a thumbs up if you could see the picture on the screen. Yes, okay, great. So today's letter, well, we're entitling this shiur, A Letter from Two Friends. Today's shiur is going to focus on the two men who are on your screen. In particular, we're going to focus on the left one, who authored this letter that we are learning together. The letter, as you can see in front of you now, on the screen, which I'm going to read out from the copy that I have in my hand, is dated Chaf Hei Shvat Tufshin Yudtes, Boston, New York. And who are the authors of this letter? Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik and Chaim Heller. So when I saw this letter, I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was fascinating already, and we'll get to in a minute why I thought that was fascinating and why it's interesting, perhaps, and why we're going to focus on it. If you have the Mar Mekomos, the second page has the English translation from Litvin, but we're working off the first page in the English. To the honor of Rosh Hashanah, Kol Echad Meitanu, each one of us HaChasumim Mata, who is signed underneath, Kibel Es Michtavo Shel Rosh Hashanah. We both, said the authors of this letter, we both received the letter of the Rosh Memshalah. Mikevan shedeya achas lanu, since we have one view, benogea leba'aya, regarding the problem, asher hitzia, that you offered us, hechlatnu, we have decided, leishtamesh b'matbea hilchatis achas, to use one halachic formulation, bimkom shteinus chos, rather than two formulations, velaro chilav igerezu, and to offer you this letter, asher tachil es chavas da'atenu, which includes our opinion. Hashela she'olsa ala perek, the question that has come up, b'dvar mirsham atinoko shenoldu me'imos nochriel shelenizgayru kedasu chedim, the question of children of intermarried couples who the mother is not Jewish and has not yet converted, Eina tzricha lefnai v'lefnim, does not require, lefnai v'lefnim means to go in or in. This is a rabbinic usage of the terminology. Eina tzricha lefnai v'lefnim, You don't have to discuss it. Shtei halachos yesodios, two fundamental halachos, hamakubalos biyadenu, that are accepted in our hands, mimos olam, from time immemorial, vahamahavos, and that they, mahava means to exist, and that they exist as amud hatovech, the central beam upon which shel hamesoros hayisraelis, of the tradition that we rest on, nosnos es pisronu hachad mashmai, gives an unequivocal, a single answer. Halacha achas omer, one halacha says, vlad haba min hanachris, the child, the offspring of a non-Jewish woman, hare hu kemosot, follows the non-Jewish mother, it is not Jewish. Halacha shnia posekas, the second halacha paskins, nachri shamal velo taval, o taval velo mal, a non-Jew who does circumcision but not immersing in the mikvah, or Toval immerses in the mikvah but doesn't do Mila, Eino ger ad shiimo v'yitvol, is not a convert until they do Mila and Tvila. B'mila macheros, in other words, say these two undersigned men, Ha'em, the mother, kovas es kedusha savlad, it establishes the sanctity of the child, ve'es hishtaychuso l'knesses Yisrael, and its connection to the Jewish people. V'geirus k'sheira, and kosher, acceptable conversion, v'ye'ila, mitzbates b'mila u'tvila, b'zachar u'tvila levad on the keva. It is expressed through, in a male, mila and tvila, and in a female, only tvila. Lefichach, therefore, efshar, it is impossible, say the two men who are undersigned, lekaton o legadol, for a minor or an adult, lehechashev, to be considered, o lehirashem, or to be identified, registered, ki Yehudi, as a Jew, in imo nachriyahi, if his mother is not Jewish, v'ulo nizgar kadas Moshe v'Yisrael, he didn't convert according to the tradition of Moshe and Israel. It's impossible to be considered Jewish. Hatzaras hahorim, the declaration of the parents, o hamivugar, or an elder person, ba'atzmo, an adult, lomailov lomorida, doesn't affect anything. Halachos elu, second to last paragraph here, hein bivchinas yisodos haTorah v'haMitzvah. They are the foundation of Torah and Mitzvah. Ve'einon zkukos lahesber l'bir. They don't require any explanation, any explication. Lachain, therefore, say these rabbis, these individuals, lo nishtamesh bitzitutos uvamar mekomos. We won't quote you sources or shtiklach Torah. Kol yeser, kinotol dami. That's a halachic context. It's a halachic explanation, a halachic expression in Chulin, that if you have something that's extra, sometimes extra actually detracts for what you have. Kol yeser, kinotol dami. Al odos gufei Torah me'in eile, kasa rabbeinu agadol Moshe ben Maimon. The Rambam said about such things, bilchus chov lumazik perek rishon halacha shishis, kedvar me'ile. Quote, quotes the Rambam, these two men, we'll see in a second how significant that is. Va'afal pishadvarm elu nirin me'inyan Torah shebichsav v'kulin b'furashin imi pi Moshe Rabbeinu me'ar Sinai. Even though these things seem from the item of Torah shebal peh and they are explicated through Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, kulon halacha l'maise biyadenu. They are all practical actions that are guided by the halacha in our hands. Kazero avoseinu donim beveizdino shol Yehoshua. This is what our fathers saw being adjudicated in the rabbinic court of Yehoshua ben Nun, beveizdino shol Shmuel and Shmuel, uvechol bezdin ubezdin sha'ami mimos Moshe Rabbeinu v'arachshav. These are traditions, formal traditions, and very firm, unwavering. He says, say the writers of this letter, we're shocked. Lama tovo memshelas medinas Yisrael. Why should the government of the state of Israel come? V'tekatzitz binetios, which is again another rabbinic explanation, a rabbinic expression of cut down saplings, as a different context. V'tenase lekakeas biras hayadus ha'atika, and to cut down and to undermine the building of the Jewish people from time immemorial, shiniskadja, that was sanctified, bidmeyem, with the blood of Yisurim, and the suffering shaldoros k'tumim, of previous generations, asherak hodos lem, that only thanks to these selfless, sacrificial Jews, nishmar yichudenu, our individuality has remained, ka'am kadosh, like a holy people, hamakushar, that is connected b'chavle ava aza with ropes, cords of strong love, ukedusha la'eretz hakodesh, to our holy land. Ha'im, is it possible? Mechurbana shel kedushas Yisrael, from the destruction of kedushas Yisrael, tibana b'dinas Yisrael? Are you going to build a state out of destroying our heritage? It's impossible. That's not going to happen. Yilamdeinu Adoneinu, teach us Rosh Memshala, asher eshmo anu mokirim. We honor you. We recognize you. Ve'eschu Yosef, ha-historian l'man tkumas mi-medina anu ma'arichim ba'od. We recognize you, Ben-Gurion. You're a great man. You're a historic man. You have tremendous chuyos. But does that mean that you're going to build a foundation of the state of Israel by destroying our heritage? Bechiba, with love, uvakavod, and with honor. Who are the undersigned? Chaim Heller, New York. Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Boston. That's the letter. That's the letter for today. It's very simple, unequivocal. There's only one way to define a Jew. It's the traditional way that we have had for generations. Fine. You know what struck me about this letter? And maybe it's interesting to you too. That two people signed the same letter. They signed a joint letter. And that's interesting to me because when you go through the book, there are very few letters which are authored by multiple authors because Ben-Gurion sent these to individual people. So how did it come that these two men signed the same letter? And the answer is that these two Gaone Olam, these two giants of Torah, were friends. They were friends. And that's what I came to appreciate in preparing for this morning for our Limud, that these two men were friends and they brought so much to the Torah community, and they teach us a lot about how friends relate to each other. And for me, especially in having been a student of Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadok V'Kadosh Levracha, and his Talmidim for so many years, to realize that there was someone in his life who he opened up to in a certain way was eye-opening. It was so revelatory, and it gave me an insight into an appreciation of a man who I only knew by name, who we are going to appreciate this morning on a much, much deeper level. Rabbi Soloveitchik, we've talked about so many times over the years. This great Gaon of the 20th century was born in 1903. His father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, his mother was the daughter of Rav Elia Feinstein, Rebbetzin Pesia Soloveitchik. He's coming from the most aristocratic Torah family. He goes to study in Berlin, gets a doctorate, right, comes to America, Rosh Hashiva reads, thousands of Musmachim. So many of us know about Rav Soloveitchik. But he was also, I mean, you could say, according to some, the way that his little monograph is called The Lonely Man of Faith. Do we know very much about Rav Soloveitchik's his life, his personal life, not just his family, not just his, but I wonder, I don't know, did the Rav have friends? What did it mean to be a friend of Rav Soloveitchik? Well, the answer is yes, he had friends. And I don't know for sure, and maybe people who know a lot about the Rav would know the answer to this question, but I'm not such a big scholar, but I'm just going to surmise with you for a minute. I wonder if the Rav got this letter from Ben-Gurion, and Rav Chaim Heller, the other man signed on the letter, got this letter, and they talked one day. Maybe they were sitting and schmoozing, and I'm sure it was in Yiddish. And the Rav said to him once, did you know? I got a letter from the Prime Minister of Israel. And Rav Chaim Heller said to him, you know, I got the same letter from the Prime Minister of Israel. Maybe we should write a letter back together. So two friends, Lahavdil, you know, maybe it's because of my naive imagination. Remember those children's books, Frog and Toad, the two friends? I imagine to myself, these two giants, Gaone Olam, they said to each other, they were sitting on a Frog and Toad log one day in Manhattan, and they said to each other, you know, Why don't we just write the letter together? And that's what they did. This letter that we read was written by these two men together. It's because they were friends and they had a connection. Not only did they have a connection in life, they had a connection after their life. And that's what we're going to read together. Because on Erev Pesach, right before Pesach in 1960, Rav Chaim Heller passed away. And shortly thereafter, Rav Soloveitchik delivered a magisterial eulogy, which is what I sent out in the email last week, together with an interesting article from the late Professor Fox on the Rav as a maspid, as a eulogizer. Rav Soloveitchik gave a masterpiece of a eulogy for Rav Chaim Heller. And I don't know, I know some people in this room were in YU in the early years. I don't know if anybody in our community remembers Rav Chaim Heller. But the Rav had a connection to Rav Chaim Heller in his life and then after his life. This hesped that Rav Chaim Heller had for him from Rav Soloveitchik, it was given in the 1960, but it was published 10 years later in a publication called Shana Bishana, which is by Heichal Shlomo. In 1970, Rav Soloveitchik published the hesped. And then it was later published in this volume called Divrei Hagos V'Haracha, which is a compilation of several of the talks of Rav Soloveitchik, including the hesped that he gave for his uncle, the Brisker Rav, including Kol Dodi Dofeik, and other essays. His hesped also for Rav Chaim Ozer Grzynski, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. These were two friends. And it is amazing to me, as someone who sits at the feet of the mountain, that is the Gaon Adir, the Gadol Hador, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, to imagine that he had friends. He lived in Boston, but he came to New York. Rav Chaim Heller lived in an apartment in New York, and the Rav used to go visit him. I imagine they sat together drinking tea or coffee. I don't know if the Rav drank coffee or tea. I don't know. You know, you have to ask the family. But they were friends. They talked. They were different ages, but they came from the same world. So let's talk a little bit about who was this man, who is not so well known today, but was a close confidant and the friend of Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Heller. Rav Chaim Heller was born in Bialystok in 1879. He was in Eastern Europe, they would call this boy, some of you know this term, an Eloi. An Eloi means a prodigy, a genius. That doesn't mean like today we say, oh, little Johnny, he's a genius. No, no, no. That meant he was an actual genius. He became known throughout Russia and Poland as the Eloi of Warsaw. By 10 years old, he didn't have a Malamed or a Rosh Hashiva anymore because he had outstripped all of the Malamdim. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula. And in 1912, he was appointed as the Rav and the Av Bezdin of Lomža. Lomža was one of the greatest pre-war European cities and citadels of Torah. Many of you are familiar with the Lomža Rav, Rav Shatskis. And some of you remember there was a Rav in Chicago. He was, his name was Rav Chaim Regensburg. So Rabbi Regensburg was a son-in-law of another major Rav in Lomža. Lomža was an ir ve'im b'Yisrael. So by 32 years old, Rav Chaim Heller was the Rav and the Av Bezdin of Lomža. But shortly thereafter, he left after a couple of years. He spent World War I in Hummel, which is another known European town. And then in 1922, he moved to Berlin. And in Berlin, he established a yeshiva, which we'll see in a little bit. Beis Medrash Elyon. Beis Medrash Elyon was a small yeshiva that Rav Chaim Heller established for top students. And these Talmidei Chachamim who gathered around Rav Chaim Heller, who recognized his genius, gathered there in Berlin in this small yeshiva, but didn't just learn, and this is where it's going to start to get interesting, and also kind of sheds light about a little bit about the commonalities between Rav Chaim Heller and Rav Soloveitchik. They didn't just learn Gemara. They didn't just learn halacha. They also learned secular studies. They learned philosophy. They learned languages. Reb Chaim Heller was not just a Gaon Ador, a genius in Torah. He also, while he was in Germany, pursued a PhD in the University of Würzburg. He was an expert in Semitic languages. In the 1930s, you can imagine it was not a good time to be a Rosh Yeshiva in Berlin. And so after the Nazi persecutions, thankfully, he escaped in 1937. He came to America. And he became a Rosh Yeshiva at Reitz, where he stayed until he passed away in 1960. He lived in Manhattan. He's buried in a cemetery in the Bronx, I believe. During his lifetime, he published a few things. He published this volume, which apparently, according to legend has it, the Chafetz Chaim, the Heilige Chafetz Chaim, said about this sefer, if you use any sefer other than this, it's considered to be a sefer Sheinu Muga. It's incomplete because this is the authoritative text of the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote his masterwork, the Arach HaZakah, to explain the 613 commandments. Well, he starts with the list, enumerating all 613. So Reb Chaim Heller, Zichrono Levracha, Reb Chaim Heller wrote the critical classic edition of the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, which was a translation originally from the Arabic from Ibn Tibbon. So Reb Chaim Heller has footnotes. In addition, he has two volumes on Choshen Mishpat entitled L'Chikre Halachos. He has other Torah journal writings, publications, but he also has classical works based on the Semitic languages, on Targumim, Septuagint, translations of what they call the Palestinian Targum. He was an expert in multiple languages. He was a world expert in biblical criticism, in the study of Tanakh. And he authored a sefer called Nusach HaShomroni. And he gave shiurim not just in Reitz, in the yeshiva, he also gave lectures in the Bernard Revel Graduate School in philosophy. So this was a very unusual person. And he was friends with Rav Soloveitchik. How did they become friends? Remember, who else was in Berlin in 1930? None other than the young genius, the young giant, known throughout the Torah world as the upcoming Gaon Hador, throughout is this young Soloveitchik, Yosef Dov Yosheber, who was studying in Berlin. So I don't know exactly where they met, whether it was in the Beis Medrash Elyon or in a shul somewhere or at a Shabbos meal, like, I don't know, over Shabbos lunch. These two European Gaonim crossed paths and they became friends for life. So after Rav Chaim Heller passes away in 1960, Rav Soloveitchik delivers a eulogy. He delivers a hesped. And through this hesped, those of us who never had the opportunity to meet Reb Chaim Heller, now we have the opportunity to connect to appreciate who was this singular, unique genius. And as Professor Fox points out in his tradition article about the Rav as a maspid, the Rav was able to capture the individuality of each person that he was maspid. As opposed to making Reb Chaim Heller sound exactly like the Brisker Rav or Rav Zev Gold or anybody else, they were distinct. He was able to bring out the uniqueness of every person he spoke about. So Rav Soloveitchik delivers this eulogy in YU in New York, and you see the first section I'm going to go through. It's a long eulogy. It was translated into English by Amma Vassar, which I emailed out last week, but I'm just going to use the Hebrew edition for us today, and you can use the English, or I'm going to translate it as we go along. It's a long hesped, but the Rav makes, as he interweaves the different halachic and hashkafic makoros, he interweaves the biographical sketches to give us an appreciation of who was this man, who was his friend, Reb Chaim Heller. And he talks at the beginning of the hesped about when a person gives a hesped, a eulogy, he needs to reflect not just on the academic intellectual achievements of the person, but also to feel that experience of being with that person, the loss on the human level, the emotional side. And that is something that comes through. So we're going to try to appreciate both aspects of this Gaon of Reb Chaim Heller. And now when we go back to that opening picture, you see the two of them seated there. Right? You see, Reb Chaim Heller is much older than the Rav, right? He's 23 years old, 24 years older than the Rav, but they came from the same world. They spoke the same language in so many levels. So the Rav talks in the beginning about a phrase that he quotes from Dr. Belkin. Now, this is important. This is crucial because I think for a historical note and for an inspirational element, I want to share with you something that needs to be known here, that Rav Schwartz, Shadav Shalom, Shadav Refuah, shared with me and with us in the Kola 1 year. What happened with Reb Chaim Heller in the 1930s when he came to America, actually spent a brief period of time in Chicago, and then he came to New York? How did that happen? What was that about? So Rav Schwartz once told us the following. He said that he was in New York. Remember, Rav Schwartz studied in Reitz. He learned with Rav Moshe Schatzkes and with the Rav and with Dr. Belkin, the president of YU, the Musmach of the Chafetz Chaim, in the 1940s. And every 4 years, there was a quadrennial celebration of Musmachim called the Chag HaSmicha. And Rav Schwartz said that 1 year, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, spoke at the Chag HaSmicha, and he looked around and he said to the crowd, there were hundreds and hundreds of people there, over 1,000 people, he said that this yeshiva has the greatest collection of Rashi yeshiva, of Gaonim, Talmidei Chachamim, anywhere in the world. And Rav Schwartz said, he thought at the time that the Rav was just exaggerating. He was just using hyperbole to make everybody feel good. But Rav Schwartz said to us that as he grew older, he realized that the Rav was not exaggerating at all. That in fact, in the 1940s, in Reitz, was truly the greatest cadre of Gaonim in one yeshiva, in one location, anywhere in the world. And Rav Schwartz said, why was that? How was that? He said, it's because of one man, the president of YU, Dr. Belkin, which I did not know this. Rav Schwartz said that Dr. Belkin, you know, he came from Europe. He was a Mosmach of the Chafetz Chaim at the age of 17. Dr. Belkin knew the names and the personalities of the Torah giants in Europe. And many of these people, of course, the vast majority of them were killed by the Germans, but many of them were rushing, were fleeing, were getting out of Europe, and they had nowhere to go. Reb Chaim Heller, where was he going to make a living? Rav Peleyov, all the one after the next, Rav Burak, Rav Schwartz rattled off the names of these Talmidei Chachamim, who he said each in their own right would have, and many of the cases they were, their own Rosh Yeshiva, their own Rabbanim, Av Bezdin, great Gaonei Torah in Europe. But they come to America. Where would they go? What would they do? The Suvalka Rav. So there, how many yeshivas were there in America? There was Skokie Yeshiva, Beis Medrash LaTorah. There was Torah Vadas. There was starting Chaim Berlin. How many yeshivas were there? There was nowhere to go. And Dr. Belkin said to all of these Gaonim, come to Reitz. Come to YU. You'll have a makom. You'll have a place. Reb Chaim Heller was paid by Reitz, was supported by the yeshiva, even though he didn't give a regular blotch here. He gave occasional lectures. How Dr. Belkin pulled this off, no one knows. But that's what he did. He said to all of these Gaonim, you're coming from a destroyed world of Europe. You could have had your own yeshiva. You could have been the leader of the whole community. So at least you should have some makom, a place to learn, a place to teach, to have chaverim. So that's how Reb Chaim Heller ended up in Reitz. That's how so many Reitz Rosh Yeshiva who are Gaoni Olam, who unfortunately over time, many of us never heard of them. But it's because of Dr. Belkin's vision, his Mesiras Nefesh, to raise money to support these Gaonim, that they should have a place in the world that was America, even though their previous world had been destroyed. It's a credit to Dr. Belkin. It's incredible. It's an important historical footnote. So Rav Soloveitchik, the major thrust of the Hesped comes from a reference that Dr. Belkin made. Rav Soloveitchik says that at a previous Chag HaSmicha, they were sitting on the dais, if I could give you the image, having spent that moment, those hours in my own Chag HaSmicha, if you could imagine Lamport Auditorium in Yeshiva University, in the big Moorish building, there's an auditorium that seats 900 people on the bottom floor, and another 200 people on the top floor, and there's a major, imagine in the back, there's a stage. And these are the Gaonim sitting there, the great Rashi Yeshivas who came from Europe, whose world was destroyed, who Dr. Belkin brought to America. Rav Soloveitchik is sitting up there, and he's delivering a masterful drasha. And they're recognizing the Musmachim who are sitting there, the rabbinical students, the Talmidei Chacham in the 1940s, 1950s. In the 1930s, it was Rav Soloveitchik's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So the Rav says he's sitting there, and he's sitting right next to his friend, Rav Chaim Heller. And Dr. Belkin is speaking at the Chag HaSmicha. And Dr. Belkin is referencing, he's talking about Rav Chaim Heller. And the Rav says, Rav Chaim Heller is so modest. He's such an unof. He's so uncomfortable. He can't even imagine what Rav Chaim Heller is thinking. The Rav says he imagines Rav Chaim Heller is thinking, Dr. Belkin, what are you doing to me? Why are you embarrassing me? And Rav Soloveitchik says that Rav Chaim Heller is sitting there, and he's sitting there, and Dr. Belkin is speaking. And Dr. Belkin, you know what? I don't know if you have an image of Dr. Belkin. I'm just going to pull it up. You have to see him on the screen. Imagine when he's talking. Here we go. I'm just going to pull it up so we can screen and share it for a second. Because you have to see, imagine who it is. Who is this man? Here it is. You see on the page, Dr. Belkin. This is a younger picture here. This is, the middle is Dr. Belkin with Einstein, naming the College of Medicine. There's Dr. Belkin. Also, PhD, Philo, Gaon Adir, wrote a letter to Dr. Revel to bring him to YU, saying, you know, if you need, I'll write you any Shtickle Torah on Nezikin. I forget, like, it's unbelievable, Gaon Adir. So Dr. Belkin is standing at the stage, you see him with that little goatee, and he says that Rav Chaim Heller is Mipleitas Sofrehim. Mipleitas Sofrehim. That's the expression he uses. Where does he get this expression from? From the davening. Ala tzadikim ve'ala chasidim ve'ala v'chule v'chule ve'al pleitas Sofrehim. What does the word Sofrehim mean? They're scribes. What does the word pleitas mean? What does pleita mean? Pleita means a refugee, a remnant, like She'eris HaPleita. The Pleita means the refugees, the remnants. So we daven every day for the tzaddikim, for the righteous, the pious, and the remnants of the scribes. The remnants of the scribes. So Rav Soloveitchik says, what kind of an expression is that? What does it mean, Pleita Sofrehim? Remnants of scribes. Why is that important? Who are the remnants of the scribes? What does that even mean? So Rav Soloveitchik explains. He says there are many Talmidei Chachamim, there are many scribes, there are many tzaddikim, gaonim, but there's also something about being pleitas, a remnant, a holdover from a previous generation. And that, says Rav Soloveitchik, is what Rav Chaim Heller meant to him and to our generation. Rav Chaim Heller was a holdover from a previous world. A world that Rav Soloveitchik probably loved and missed deeply, having come to America. Kol Zman. Now we go to section one, the connection to generations. You see on the screen. Kol Zman, all the time, Sh'Rav Chaim Haya Imanu, that Rav Chaim was with us, Besochenu, among us, Hiskayim Hakesher Hachazak Beinenu Ladoru Sha'avru. We had a strong connection between us and the previous generations. Kishaholach Meitanu, when he left us, Huto Hakesher. The knot was undone. Our connection, says the Rav, to the previous generation of Europe was taken away. In truth, Lamito Sholdovar, he connected us to three generations. Hu Ishtashea Bimasu Matan Sholtora. He connected, he had conversations in love and learning. And Reb Yosef Ber, Ish Brisk. Reb Yosef Ber, meaning the first Reb Yosef Ber, the Beis Halevi. Reb Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik of Brisk, Rav Soloveitchik's great-grandfather. Reb Yitzchak Elchanan of Kovna, the Netziv, Reb Lipa of Mir, Ukayotzimahem and others. Adayin Ol Yamim Hayabimayim. He was a young boy at that time. Aval Yaldusa Loi Frioso Milopalpil in Anake Yaruach Shaloso Dor Muflag. In the late 1890s, in the early 1880s, this young man who was a teenager was talking Torah with the octogenarians, the giants. Next generation, Ador Hasheni, Kamo, he says, like my grandfather, Rab Chaim Ishbrisk, Reb Yaliyo Ishpruzner, Reb Yaliyo Fruzaner, my grandfather, Reb Eliyo Chaim of Lodz, Reb Hirsch of Kovna, he became Nikshar Biedidus Intimus, with an intimate friendship. Kama Pa'amim, several times, Siperli, the Rav says, Reb Chaim told me, Al Sichos of Im Zakeni. His conversations with my grandfather, he told me about my grandfather. Kol Havayaso, his entire essence, was Shkua Bedoros Haim, was in those generations. He was always in connection with him. Kishayisi Mavakro B'Ma'ono, when I would visit him in his apartment in Ma'arava Shel Manhattan, on the west side, Im Kol Chashra Sachaim Ayudim Asoan in Vanabuchim Shabbat, in all of the confused Upper West Side Judaism, and all that was going on with the shuls and the Jews and all the confusion that was going on there. Moadonel, the pubs, the bars, everything that's going on. I would go into his apartment, Hayisi Margish Tamid, I would always feel, Kielu Hayichnasti La'olam Acher. I went into a new and other world. Outside on the busy streets of Manhattan, it's a crazy world, but in his apartment, Ki'ilu hifkazi es ha'gvul, I broke through the barrier of Rishuyos of the earlier generations of the Shach and the Taz and the Gra, Rishusa shel ha'orthodoxy ha'mordernitz k'tsusas ha'knafayim, the modern orthodoxy whose wings were clipped and lacked shorashim, that lacked roots, lachdor la'omek ha'chavaya ha'dasis, a shallow orthodoxy that lacked roots in a real religious experience. The Rav goes on to tell the story how many times he would knock on the door to his room. Rav Chaim Heller was engrossed in his learning. He was learning a Beis Halevi or Malbushe Yom Tov or Meshav Davar. And the Rav says that when Rav Chaim felt that I was there, he motioned me over, but he didn't stop learning. He would, in just one, with a tenua kala, one little finger, he would say, come sit next to me. He said, the Rav said he was so engrossed, I don't know if he actually paid attention that I was right next to him. But he invited me to join that conversation with that chabura of that world. Sometimes he would gesture, Rav Soloveitchik says. He would shake his head, nodding approvingly, and sometimes he would raise his eyebrows. You see those bushy European eyebrows. He would raise his eyebrows and wonder, how could you say not like the Shach? When Reb Chaim would tell stories about those great Gaonim, the Rav says, those who we knew and those who we didn't know, it wasn't a cold, distant history, but rather it was a warm religious experience. And could I say, with a little bit of arrogance for us, that just by learning this Hesped, by reading these words of the Rav about Reb Chaim Heller, maybe somehow we can connect to Reb Chaim Heller today? We can realize what it means to be connected to generations of a true, authentic, real, deep, and meaningful religious experience. That's point number one. Point number two is Pleitas Sofrehim. What does it mean to be Pleitas Sofrehim? What is a sofer? A sofer, Rav Soloveitchik quotes different words of Chazal, that it has two meanings. It has the meaning of sofer, that they were sofer the osios. They counted the letters of the Torah. They were experts in the language. But they were also sofrim in that they knew how to make conceptual, concrete analyses. You see now on this next page the beautiful picture. It's a fantastic hat. It's almost like a cowboy hat that Reb Chaim Heller had when he was younger. And this is the formal announcement of the Beis Medrash HaElyon. If you looked in the newspaper in Eastern Europe inviting students to join, it's Omed Lehiposeach Bekarov BeBerlin. It's about to open in Berlin. If you want to get into the yeshiva, just so you should know, Zuchus HaKnisa, if you want to get in, if anybody's thinking of applying, only if you have Yedia Gedola Umakifa Vahavana Amuka Urechava. If you have great knowledge, comprehensive and deep understanding, of all of Shas and Poskim. So already I'm out. I don't know how many others on this call would be able to apply to join Rav Chaim Heller's group in the Beis Medrash Elyon. This is it. And it's established by the Vad at the head, Hagon Harav Rav Chaim Dr. Heller. Rav Chaim Heller. Because he was not just a Rav, he was a doctor. Rav Chaim Haya Yad'an Nifla Gam B'Torah Shebichsav. Shall you sofrim osios shebetorah? The Rav says, pshutam kemashmon. Hu ayamonios osios betanach. In the realm of Mikra, he was one of those great historic sofrim. Of, like with Rav Sadyagon, Rav Yovna ibn Janach, Dunash ibn Labrat, ibn Ezra, Radak. He was a great biblical expert, a linguist. At the same time, he was also an expert in the content. Harbe pa'amim, siperli, says Rav Chaim, I know I'm going a little bit long, but I can't help myself. We have to do this. We have to learn this. We have to listen to this. Rav Chaim, he would tell me, said the Rav, on the Masoris of Tanakh, you know, the translations that he put together. Shapiresh about Piresh Ksuvim Stumen, that explained enigmatic passages in Tanakh. He says, Rav Chaim haya mipleitas shtei mishpachos sofrim. Sofri Torah shebichsav, that's the end, and Torah shebalpeh, in the context. He was not just an expert in lumdus, in halacha, in choshen mishpat, in all areas of Torah. He was also a sofer in biblical criticism. And this brings us to the third section. Answering the call of the generation. Here, I'm going to share another fascinating thing with you as an introduction. Rav Chaim, as we mentioned, was an expert in Tanakh. You're now looking at, I'm pulling up on the screen here, thanks to an interesting website called On the Main Line. Take a look at this. This is an article, September 15th, 1944, in a newspaper called The Jewish Criterion. It's a Philadelphia newspaper, an article, Rav Chaim Heller, One in Generations. An incredible article about Rav Chaim Heller, about five weekly lectures that Rav Chaim Heller gave, Dr. Chaim Heller, known as Rav Chaim Gaon, on biblical criticism. It's a long article. I could send it to you if you want, but that's... Rav Chaim Heller was an expert in biblical studies. So he gave lectures on biblical criticism and defending Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik, the next part of the Hesped, he talks about how in our generation, with the advance of the scientific method of learning and, you know, Wellhaus and all kinds of other biblical criticisms, who is going to be an expert in defending authentic Judaism from the critique of biblical criticism? Who would the Hashgacha claim to be that man? None other than Rav Chaim Heller. But why was Rav Chaim Heller chosen? This is fascinating. The Rav then goes on to say how we have a bracha in our Shmoneh Esrei called V'lam Alshinim, the Birchas Aminim, criticizing, cursing, rejecting those who reject the Jewish tradition. So the Gemara has a question, who could be misaking? Rabbi Gamliel was looking, who had the sensitivity, the understanding to establish a bracha in Shmoneh Esrei that would criticize the Minim? It was Shmuel HaKatan. Because Shmuel HaKatan was not just a Torah genius, he was also a humble human being. He was a mensch. He was a man with great sensitivity. So the Rav says, Rav Chaim Ozer, what, Rav Chaim Heller was not just a giant of the world of understanding when it comes to biblical studies. He was a giant of a man of heart, of humanity and humility. Rav Chaim Ozer was so humble, and that's why he was qualified to stand up on behalf of authentic Judaism, because he also had sensitivity. Who will be? Mihu Yachol? You see it on the screen. Mihu Yachol Lanos Lakol Netzach Yisrael HaKorei LaEzro LaHatzala. Now in the 20th century, Torah Judaism is under siege. Who will answer the call? Reb Chaim Zal, Shmuel HaKatan of our generation.
The Hashkacha God chose him because he didn't just have Hachsharoso HaIntellectualiot. He didn't just have the intellectual genius. He had the Nishmaso HaGedola, the great soul that had so much love for all human beings created B'Tzelem Elokim. The Midas HaChesed, the kindness, the softness. He was the spokesman for Judaism. And finally, the last point, greatness, gaonus, but also simplicity, childlike simplicity. Rav Soloveitchik now talks about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and how Rav Chaim and so many other gaonim, on the one hand, when it came to their Torah scholarship, they were beyond transcendent and giant. They were adults, sophisticated, brilliant. But in the last section here, that the Rav entitles in the Hesped, you see it on the screen, Kinar Yisrael V'Ohaveyu. There was something about being a child. He said when it came to the world of emuna, of faith, of faithfulness, of the experience of Judaism, his grandfather Rav Chaim and so many great gaonim, they were touched by the dew of youth. Not childish, but childlike. A childlike freshness, a zeal, a tmimiskeit in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were godol b'machshava, but be'emuna, they were nar Yisrael v'oaveyu, ha'ben yakir li. And this, says the Rav, was also the experience that he had with his friend, Rav Chaim Heller. Gam Rav Chaim Heller zal iched eshtei aktzavos. He unified both ends. Gadlos hamoach, the greatness of intellectual prowess, but also tmimas halev, simplicity. The Rav says that when Rav Chaim Heller gave talks, he says he was so simple, he was so pure. Shmuel HaKotel Shel Doreinu lo yada mahi politika. He didn't get involved in politics. He had nothing to do with that. It was not vain, tachsan sasnaut, rishimut, formality. Miyomar lo omar dover kedei limso chen be'eni azulas. He never said anything just to flatter other people. Lo izer es devar b'pitzitzim uprachim. He didn't make his lectures into flowery language. He just said it the way that he saw it from his place of simplicity. Interesting, the Rav says, Kishayisi mevakish mimenu. The Rav said, I asked him. Imagine these two friends. I'm just in awe of this. The Rav and Rav Chaim Heller, they talk like friends. The Rav says, I used to ask him, Letzam tzim ktsas bekomos hachomer. To go a little easier, by the way, the Rav is talking, this is the man who gave 4-hour Yartzeit Shiurim. And he said to Rav Chaim Heller, go easier on the Talmidim. You could just imagine how much information Rav Chaim Heller must have been saying in his Shiurim. Just imagine that. The Rav says, I used to tell Rav Chaim Heller, take it easy on the students. Don't pack it in so much. Letzamtzim ktsas, a little bit. Just give them a little at a time. Tein lam Reb Chaim, kima, kima. Just give them a little less so they could digest more. He used to say to me, Ma tarotze Reb Yosha Ber. What do you want from me, Reb Yosha Ber? They're friends. These best friends. He says to me, Reb Yosha Ber, what do you want from me? Sha'abaz bez man, I should waste time for no reason? So that I should mislead people by truncating. He said to me once, the Rav says, that he left the Rabbanus in Lamsha because he felt that as the rabbi of the community, people were going to coerce him to say things and do things that were against his simple values. He says, the Pasuk says, U'metzachin v'seichel tov, we have to find favor, be'enei Elokim v'adam. Ha'adam tzarech lishtadal, first you have to find favor in the eyes of Elokim, first God, and then other people, not the other way around. You see here on the page, this is the Tzion of Hagon, Hachosid, Rabban Shal Yisrael, Moran, Chaim Heller, Bangon, Hagon, Hatzadik, Rabbi Yisrael, Pinsker. Orla Arba Asar, the night of the 14th, Erev Pesach, Tavshin Chaf. Now we can appreciate a little bit more, perhaps, what we Yarshin, what we inherit as students of these men. What it meant for the Rav to have a friend in Rav Chaim Heller, and what it must have meant for Rav Chaim Heller, who came with his wife and daughters, to have a friend from the younger generation, but understood who he was in the older generation, where he was coming from. What a bond, what men. And what do we learn for ourselves? What do we learn from Rav Chaim Heller, a man whose greatness I can't even, it's like, imagine standing at the bottom of Mount Kilimanjaro and envisioning what it must have been like at the top. I cannot describe how overwhelming these masterworks are of Rav Chaim Heller. Like, you can't grasp that, but we can get a little bit of an insight. And I hope you got a little taste of what I've been tasting as thinking about this, of these two friends of Rav Chaim Heller and Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. First, the Rav's appreciation of Rav Chaim Heller's connection to the previous generations. He was Mipleita Sofreim, and we need to be connected to those generations, to those previous Doros that had that rich, authentic, traditional, meaningful Torah experience. The second was Pleitas Sofreim, the Sofrim, somebody who was a genius in Lumdus, in Kol HaTorah Kula, and also in the secular disciplines, in philosophy and philology. Third, answering the call of the generations to be a biblical defender of not just substance, but of soul, of spirit, of humanity, of humility. And finally, Emuna, of a katan, Nar Yisrael of Ohaveyu. We can continue our learning, and we're going to keep learning Mirtz Hashem on Sundays. We're going to learn all kinds of different things. And each one of us, we need to keep learning. But that learning, that deepening of our intellectual prowess should not dimper or diminish or take away from that childlike emuna that we need to cultivate at the same time. So today, this letter, now we can appreciate. What struck me when I opened this book, I hope you'll have that same sense of awe now that I do when you look at this letter and you realize this letter to Ben-Gurion was written by two men together, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik and Rav Chaim Heller, two friends who shared so much in common and who teach us so much just by writing this letter together.